Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We are quite familiar with the name Ride. Of course, it's a Singapore-based mobility app.
Yes, carpooling, sharing a car to get to where you're going if you're all going in the same direction. And just recently, the company formally announced its plans for a $200 million Singapore dollar initial public offering, or IPO, on the Singapore Exchange, SGX, and it has appointed SAC Capital as its financial advisor.
So it aims to be the first profitable ride-hailing tech company to list on the SGX, with Ride turning profitable in the fourth quarter of last year as gross transaction value, or GTV, increased four times during the pandemic.
And in a significant move to symbolise Ride's ambition to give back to its drivers, and on the part of continued success, part of the IPO could include plans for its top drivers to receive bonuses and shares upon completion of the IPO.
It's an interesting one. Let's find a little bit more about this announcement. And, you know, in light of the other ride-hailing app that's gone for a SPAC listing, why did Ride choose the traditional IPO? Terence Zhou, the CEO and founder of Ride, is on the line with us. Good morning, Terence. How are you?
Good morning, guys, Elliot and Manisha, and I want to say a very good morning to all our Ride members and drivers who are heading to work right now. So drive safe on the road.
Yes, because as CEO, I know you told all of them, tune in to Money FM. So preset in the car, can't change. Yes. Okay, so you guys have close to 700,000 downloads. You've been in the scene since September 2014, and you turned profitable last year, fourth quarter 2020. GTV increased four times during the pandemic. What is different about the ride-hailing landscape, you know, when you first entered in 2014 and then now, 2021?
Yeah, so we first, you know, launched our prototype in 2015. I remember, you know, the ride hailing was just coming up. There was Uber then, and competition also got stiffer. So we started off as a carpooling app, and obviously there was a lot of education then, you know, educating drivers on why they should come onto the platform, and also passengers, the merits of booking via an app. But as time goes by, you know, the technology has matured, people are educated, and I think right now, even, you know, pre and post pandemic, I think ride hailing is just part and parcel of people's lives now as they go from point A to point B.
Yeah, we'll get into the details in just a second on the IPO itself. But I did want to ask, and I'm sure investors will be asking this question as well, how is it that you actually make your money? Because obviously when we think about anything to do with mobility, we think about, you know, drivers making single fares. But here you've got people sharing a car. So how does it work?
Yeah, so what we are an agnostic platform. We started off with carpooling. So people, drivers, you know, who download that app, you know, they can actually carpool and get to work in the morning, and then that allows them to monetize close to $600 a month on their empty seats. And then as we progress, we also brought on private hire drivers and taxi drivers. I think what's key for us as a business is that we keep our commissions low and at 10%, and that is relative to the competition or the market rate, which is close to 20 to 25%. So that means that for every $10 that drivers earn, they get to take back $9 instead of $7.50. So that's the way that we keep competitive. And, you know, we do not also spend loads of money on marketing. You know, you will not see us on billboards in Orchard Roads or in MRTs. Instead, we rely on word of mouth, right? People take our app, you know, they got a good fare, and they tell their friends. So 70% of people who come to us is through referrals from family and friends.
Right. Don't you get tempted to go on the advertising route when you see how much visibility other players have? I mean, I'm going to be very honest with you, Terence. I was stuck in Sungai Buloh yesterday and I tried the other apps. I couldn't get a car. Maybe they didn't want to go all the way there to fetch me. Yeah. But it was until I got onto the Ride app that I got a car. I mean, aren't you tempted that maybe to make Ride my first choice instead of the others?
Yeah, actually, you know, we have gone over, you know, the last 5 years in a significant lane or so. In fact, I think 1 in 10 Singaporeans, you know, actually know our brand. And as I said, we rely on word of mouth referrals, because I think the key thing is to have sustainable growth, right? We want to keep our costs low. We don't want, you know, we have sustainable business practices and strategies. We don't try to subsidize our ride as well, you know, beyond the cost of the trip. So I think that strategy has served us well. right, which tied us through the pandemic. And in fact, you know, we have, our business has improved as a result of, you know, what we have done.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the pandemic, because obviously there are pressures on a business like yours in a situation where we're encouraged not to hang out with other people. How did you go during that time? But also, what are the sort of, you know, what have you put in place given the fact that this pandemic is far from over?
So, yeah, I mean, we had a scare as a business as well, because, you know, we started off as a carpooling app, you know, and during the pandemic, carpooling was banned briefly for about a month.
Yeah.
You know, and a carpool app with regulation against carpooling, and, you know, we would we of course were very, very worried on that front. But luckily, our diversification paid off as well. We had private hire and taxi drivers who came on board, who made use of our platform to actually earn their income. So I think we have diversified our business, and I do see that as the pandemic is actively vaccinating all our drivers. I think close to 70% of all drivers in Singapore now at least have had their first shot of vaccination. We also do see a recovery in terms of the businesses as people, you know, are vaccinated. They've taken the necessary precautions, wear their masks. You know, things are, people are slowly getting out and then getting back to work, getting back to having dinners outside. You know, we do see that things, as things gradually recover, the ride-hailing demand has slowly edged up over the last few months.
Let's talk about this IPO situation. 200 million IPO on the SGX, and you guys have appointed SAC Capital as the financial advisor. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the plans leading up to this. I mean, how long did you guys take, and what kind of timeline are we looking at from here on?
So we are very in a very fortunate position, and you know, we, you know, with the turn of the business in the last year or so, so we have made plans to IPO in the SGX in a year, in about 18 months time, which is in 2022, and we want to access a wider base of capital and also allow our members, including retail investors, to have access and to participate in our growth as we build a stronger and more comprehensive mobility platform.
You talked about growth just then. How much are you growing as a company, and how profitable are you?
Yeah, so during the pandemic, our transactions have actually increased by four times. I think drivers recognize that we offer a platform with lower commissions, and our passengers also see the value that we are cheaper, better, and faster. So that has been very, very good for our growth. And what our strategy going forward is to continue to invest in R&D on our platform, all right, recruiting passionate people who are interested in technology to come and join us in this journey. And we continue to focus on the mobility space to provide value to both our drivers and our users.
Terence, pardon my ignorant question. Ride is only available in Singapore, right?
Yes.
In light of that, right, and how you don't get a lot of tech firms listing on the SGX, did you consider expanding out into the region and then possibly, you know, doing something similar as a tech company to what perhaps Razer did or the other ride-hailing app did on using a spec on the US Stock Exchange? Did you consider those moves?
Yeah, I mean, we have always taken the more, you know, the unconventional path. We are the first person, you know, to first app to launch, make carpooling, you know, work in Singapore. We also, you know, first to launch a on-demand delivery service, you know, in 2018. So I think first, again, we want to be the first to be in Singapore. I think that the key thing is that we also want to be the first profitable tech company here in Singapore, right? It is our home market. We know that all our users, our drivers are here, and they would have access, easy access to participate in our growth. And it's also closer to home ground. And, you know, we also have a lot of supporters, even SEC Capital kind of advisors. So I think, you know, our journey is different, and we want to pursue a sustainable, profitable path towards building this particular company.
Yeah, interesting. And I'll be fascinated to see whether others sort of take your cue as well, because there is this fascination, and there are obviously monetary incentives of listing in the US and using SPACs to do it because you get to market sooner. But, you know, like you say, you've gone the rather unconventional route, or perhaps the conventional route, isn't it? But let's talk about part of this IPO plan, including bonuses for top drivers and shares upon completion of the IPO. Now, let's be honest, the last time we heard about a company doing something like this, it was Deliveroo. And Deliveroo's IPO, I mean, there were all sorts of issues and opinions about Deliveroo and the way it treats its workers or what its business model and how robust its business model is. Did you have to be really mindful of stories like that in the run-up to this?
This is a good point that you have raised, but I think it's also in our DNA, you know, as a company. You know, we see that drivers are our key partners, be they carpool drivers, private hire drivers, or taxi drivers, right? You know, they are key to us as a mobility platform. So we have made a lot of business moves and strategies centered around driver welfare. For example, I shared with you, you know, we have charged the lowest sustainable commission on the market. And we also regularly give incentives and bonuses to drivers who are loyal and will drive longer time with us and also who are top performing. So I think this IPO bonus or share plan that we are developing at the moment is just part and parcel of what we have been doing so far, because we recognize that drivers, you know, who spend 12 to 14 hours on the road every day, right, they are key partners in this journey. And I think that action actually speaks louder than words in this particular case. So we want to develop something for them to come and join us in this particular journey.
Actually, out of curiosity, just to expand on your last answer a little bit, was it inspired by, I mean, it's quite old school as well. There were a lot of large corporations that still exist in Singapore now that used to offer their staff shares. I mean, now, of course, it's different. And some of these staff, you know, upon retirement, they stayed with the company for many, many years and then they retired and are fairly living a good retirement in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, I know you call me old school, but I feel that the values of loyalty, hard work, you know, and walking the journey together, you know, I mean, it's not just our drivers, even our team members or employees, you know, we have the same kind of philosophy that we are here in this journey together, right? And as long as you help contribute, the success of a company, I think, is based on many, many factors, including the employees, the clients, in our case, the drivers, right, even the loyal passengers and users who use us, right? It's all part and parcel of this journey. And I think to build a sustainable, profitable, and responsible company, we need to take care of all constituencies as we grow the company.
Terence, it's very evident in some of the conversation that we're having this morning that you have decided to take a resolutely different approach to some of the other mobility services that we have here in Singapore. And also your focus is very much on community and your market. And that really comes through. So that got me quite curious about what your vision is and whether you want to see your ride grow into another one of these sort of super apps or what? What are your plans and dreams and hopes?
Yeah, I think we definitely have big dreams and big plans, but I think we believe in executing them step by step, right? From the first days as a carpooling app to today. I think execution is key and focus. So we're focused at least on this stage on mobility. But of course, on the same time, we are a tech platform, right? We are a ride-hailing app. It's a very powerful. We have a lot of people on our platform, right? We have close to 250,000 active users on our platform. I know that is a sizable amount, and we definitely have growth plans in other verticals as we execute them in each stage appropriately.
Terence, just to take stock as we wrap up this conversation, Ryan has the aim of getting 30% of Singapore's ride-hailing market share by the year 2023. Where are we at now and, you know, projecting the next 2 years plus? Possible to get there?
Yeah, I mean, never say never. I mean, there are just that many players in this market with a few players. If you do the math and each one has a decent percentage of the market, you know, it's not a very far away kind of aim, and we're definitely on track to get. And the next time, you know, if you cannot get another, you know, trip in Sungai Pulau again, remember to turn on the right app and, you know, give it a shot. And maybe you might be able to, we might be able to take you out from there.
Oh, well,
at a cheaper price.
We're just very grateful you guys got our presenter back. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been here this morning.
You know, as long as they've got drivers kind enough to make that journey, I think they'll achieve this 30% or more. Terence Cho, CEO and founder of Ride, really appreciate your time this morning, sir. Take care and stay safe.
Okay, take care, guys. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg.
or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.